in the limelight. The Cuban Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued a statement analyzing the current convulsed situation suffered by the peoples of Latin America and the Caribbean. Here we present you the full text of the document, which was taken from the cubanews.acn.cu website. The article is titled Latin America in Face of Onslaught of Imperialism and Oligarchies. Stay with us for more. The most recent events in the region confirm that the US government and the reactionary oligarchies bear the primary responsibility for the dangerous unrest and political and social instability that broke out in Latin America and the Caribbean. As we anticipated by the first secretary of the Communist Party of Cuba, Army General Raul Castro, on 1st of January 2019, Raul Castro said, "Those who entertain the illusion of the restoration of imperialist domination in our region should understand that Latin America and the Caribbean have changed, and so has the world. The region resembles a large prairie in times of drought. A single spark could cause an uncomfortable fire that will damage the national interests of all." U.S. President Donald Trump proclaims the validity of the Monroe Doctrine and resorts to McCarthyism to maintain the imperialist domination over the natural resources of the region, prevent the exercise of the national sovereignty and the aspirations of regional integration and cooperation, attempt to re-establish his unipolar and hemispheric hegemony, eliminate progressive, revolutionary and alternative models to wild capitalism, revert political and social achievements and impose new liberal models with full disregard for international law, the rules of the game of representative democracy, the environment, or the well-being of peoples. Recently, America's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo threateningly accused Cuba and Venezuela of benefiting and helping to stir up unrest in the countries of the region. Mike Pompeo distorts and manipulates reality and conceals the main reason for the instability of the region, which is America's permanent interference in Latin America and the Caribbean. The legitimate protests of people's massive demonstrations that are going on in the continent, particularly in the plurinational state of Bolivia, also in Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, and Brazil, are caused by poverty and the increasing unequal distribution of wealth in Latin America. The certainty that neoliberal formulas are worsening the exclusive and unsustainable situation of social vulnerability, the absence or precarious situation of healthcare, education and social security services, the abuses against human dignity, unemployment and restriction of labor rights, privatization, the increasing cost and cancellation of public services, and the increased public insecurity. They reveal the crisis of political systems, the lack of true democracy, the discredit of traditional conservative parties, the protests against the typical historical corruption of military dictatorships and right-wing governments, the scarce popular support to official authorities, the lack of confidence in institutions, and the lack of confidence in the system of justice. Also protest against the brutal police repression, the militarization of it using a pretext, the protection of critical infrastructure, the exemption of repressors from criminal liability, the use of military and anti-riot weapons that cause deaths, serious injuries, including hundreds of young people suffering from irreversible eye injuries caused by shotgun pellets. The criminalization of demonstrations in Latin America. Violations, beatings, and violence against detainees, among them children and minors. And even the assassination of social leaders, demobilized guerrillas and journalists. The United States advocates and supports repression against demonstrators under the pretext of safeguarding the alleged democratic order. The complicit silence of several governments, institutions, and personalities that turn out to be very active and critical against the left is a shame. The complicity of the big corporate media is also shameful. Peoples are very rightly wondering, where is democracy and the rule of law? What are the institutions that are supposedly devoted to the protection of human rights, and what are they doing? And where is the justice system whose independence is so much trumpeted? Let's review some facts. In March of 2015, the former US President Barack Obama signed an unheard-of executive order declaring the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela as an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, the economy, and foreign policy of the United States of America. In November of 2015, the costly electoral defeat of the left wing in Argentina occurred. The neoliberal offensive had its momentum in August of 2016 with a judicial and parliamentary coup in Brazil against President Dilma Rousseff. The criminalization and incarceration of the leaders of the Workers' Party and later on of former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva himself. The prompt participation of the Department of Justice of the United States by virtue of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act to install a dependent government ready to revert important social achievements through neoliberal adjustments, introduce a nefarious change in the development model, allow the destruction of national businesses and a predatory privatization and sell the resources and infrastructure of the country to American transnationals at a cheap price. By the end of 2017, there was a protest against the electoral results in Honduras that was terribly repressed. January of 2018, the United States aborted the signing of an agreement between the government of Venezuela and the Washington-controlled opposition. 1 month later, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, proclaimed the validity of the Monroe Doctrine and called for a military coup against the Bolivarian and Chavista revolutions. In March of 2018, the Brazilian councilwoman Marielle Franco was atrociously murdered. This action aroused a wave of anger in her country and the entire world. The obscure involvement of the powers that be in this event has not been disclosed. In April, former President Lula da Silva is sent to prison through spurious judicial maneuvers. There is abundant evidence of the US interference in the Brazilian elections through specialized companies using technologies such as big data and polymetry to manipulate on a scale by on a case-by-case basis the wills of voters, such as the ones used by the ultra-reactionary Steve Bannon and others designed by Zionist regime of Israel. During this period, legal proceedings were initiated against former presidents Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner and Rafael Correa. In April of 2018, there was an attempt to destabilize Nicaragua through foreign interference and the implementation of unilateral coercive measures. On 4th of August 2018, an attempt against the life of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro was perpetrated. In January of 2019, the self-proclamation of the barely known and corrupt Juan Guaido, organized in Washington, took place. In March of 2019, President Trump ratified the executive order considering Venezuela a threat to the United States. On April 30th of this year, there was an attempt, a military coup in Caracas, which happened to be a resounding failure. The United States, in revenge, escalated its non-conventional war against a South American country that has been putting up a tenacious and heroic resistance based on the civic and military union of the Venezuelan people. During this whole period, the US government has been applying savage anti-immigrant policies and has adopted an aggressive behavior full of hatred to fuel fear and division amongst voters. It is attempting to build a xenophobic wall in order in the border with Mexico, and is threatening this country and the entire Central America with the imposition of terrible tariffs and sanctions if they do not stop those who are fleeing from poverty and insecurity. It has also increased deportations. It cruelly separates thousands of children from their parents. It arrested 69,000 children and is trying to expel the children of immigrant parents who were born and raised in the United States territory. The ultra-right-wing government of Brazil, headed by Jair Bolsonaro, showing a shameful subordination to the United States, has resorted to lies and a xenophobic, racist, misogynistic, and homophobic discourse. Combined with delirious projections about social and political phenomena such as climate change, indigenous populations, the Amazon rainforest fires, and immigration, which have aroused the rejection of numerous leaders and organizations. Under his government, the social policies that led Brazil to dramatically reduce the levels of poverty and social exclusion under the Workers' Party governments are being dismantled. Since May of 2019, tens of thousands of demonstrators have taken to the streets to protest against budget cuts in education, the reforms to the pension system in Brazil, and the discriminatory policies and gender violence. The Brazilian government has interfered in the internal affairs of neighboring countries such as Venezuela, Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay, and has adopted hostile positions against Cuba in violation of international laws. As was published by the Brazilian media in April of 2019, the foreign ministry of that country instructed 15 of its embassies to coordinate with US embassies with the purpose of encouraging recipient governments to condemn Cuba at an international forum. Cuba's only responsibility is the one that emanates from an example set by its heroic people in the defense of its sovereignty, in their resistance against the most brutal and systematic aggressions, in their invariable practice of solidarity and cooperation with all sister nations of Latin America and the Caribbean. Imperialism is hurting because Cuba has proved that another world is certainly possible, and that it is indeed possible to build an alternative model to neoliberalism based on solidarity, cooperation, dignity, a fair distribution of wealth and income, equitable access to professional upgrading, citizen safety and protection, and the absolute freedom of human beings. The Cuban Revolution has also been a proof that a people that is closely united, that has become the owner of their country and institutions, living in permanent and profound democracy, can successfully resist and develop in the face of the longest-lasting aggression and blockade in history. The coup d'etat in Bolivia, orchestrated by the United States using the local oligarchy and the Organization of American States, OAS, as an instrument, is an evidence of the aggressive character of the imperialist onslaught. Cuba once again condemns the coup d'etat and the brutal repression that has been unleashed in that country and expresses its solidarity with comrade Evo Morales and the Bolivian people. While the American government continues its non-conventional war attempt to overthrow the legitimate government of President Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela and invoke the Inter-American Treaty of Reciprocal Assistance, or TIAR, Cuba ratifies its unshakable determination to maintain its cooperation with the government and the peoples of Venezuela. The Cuban people and government reiterate their solidarity with the Sandinista government and the people of Nicaragua, led by President Daniel Ortega, who is facing an American attempt of destabilization and unilateral coercive measures in his country. The legitimate government of the Commonwealth of Dominica and its Prime Minister, Roosevelt Skerrit, deserves international solidarity and can, as from now, count on the solidarity of the Cuban people, as a moment when that island nation is a victim of foreign interference that has already provoked violence and aims to thwart the electoral process. In this complex scenario, the government headed by Andrés Manuel López Obrador in Mexico is coping with neoliberalism and defending the principles of non-interference and respect for the national sovereignty, whilst the election of Alberto Fernández and Cristina Fernández de Kirchner as president and vice president of Argentina evidence that the unequivocal rejection of that nation against neoliberal formulas that impoverished and indebted the nation and seriously harmed its people. Former President Lula da Silva's release from prison is a victory for all peoples and for Cuba as well. Once again, calls for a global mobilization to demand his complete freedom and the reinstatement of his innocence and his political rights. The corruption that characterizes the behavior of the current U.S. administration is already unspeakable. Its impact on Latin America and the Caribbean, the peoples of the region, has a cost in terms of living, suffering, instability, and economic damage. In view of the tragic juncture that the region and the world are going through, Cuba reaffirms the principles of sovereignty, the principle of non-interference in the internal affairs of other countries, and the right of every people to freely choose and create a political system of their own, in a climate of peace, stability and justice, without threats or aggressions or unilateral coercive measures, and encouraging compliance with the principles enshrined in the Proclamation of Latin America and the Caribbean as a zero of peace. Cuba will continue to work towards the integration of Latin America, which includes all efforts so that the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, or CELAC, which will be very soon presided over by Mexico, would continue to promote the common interests of their nations by strengthening unity amidst diversity. To the relentless onslaught of the most reactionary forces in the hemisphere, Cuba maintains the will to defend the unity of the nation, its social achievements, its sovereignty and independence, and socialism doing whatever it takes. Cubans do so with optimism and unshakable confidence in the victory bequeathed to them by the commander-in-chief of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro Ruz. Under the guidance of their party's first secretary, Army General Fidel's brother Raúl Castro, and the leadership of President Miguel Díaz-Canel.